We want to welcome you to our very special annual Christmas community Christmas celebration, however we like to say that. This is also the birthday of our congregation. It was officially Christmas Eve of 2001, right here in this room, where we had our very first public service as Grace Christian Center. We're known as Door of Grace Ministries then, now Grace Christian Center. So we're looking forward to having a time of celebration tonight with the songs that are so familiar with the season and with some thoughts about what the Lord has done for us. And so tonight's going to be a celebration. Are you ready to celebrate?
Yes.
All right, Pastor Carl, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Let us join together. Father, as we are gathered here tonight, we gather unto Jesus to celebrate, indeed, your great gift to us. To remind ourselves what the real reason for the season is. To dedicate ourselves to always remember to honor the Christ child, the Christ man, the sacrifice for us and for our lives. He who made it so we could know you. Father, we pray tonight for the families of all of us who are gathered here, no matter how distant they might be, either from you or from us, or how close they might be to you or to us. We pray for them, Lord Jesus, because we know your love is for them as well as for us. And Father, we also thank you this evening for the privilege of having served the believers and others in this community for the past 8 years. We thank you for your faithfulness to bless the leadership of this church, that they might follow you, and as they follow you, that others would follow them. That Jesus Christ be lifted up and exalted, not only as the child, but as our Redeemer, our sacrifice, and our example, who has taught us so much that we might learn to be expressors of him and his purposes. For we honor him tonight, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
How many are glad he came? Amen. This is the time of year that we celebrate Jesus, born as a babe in a manger. But he's the one who grew to be the man who took your sins and mine upon himself on that cross. But it's such a great time of year. You know, the reality is that he probably was born, as we spoke this morning, possibly April. Possibly August, because they were out in the fields with their animals in the warmth of the night, and it probably wasn't December 25th. But guess what? Who cares? Because the enjoyable part of what we get to do, we get to celebrate the life and the birth and the wonderful ministry of Jesus every single day. And if this is the time of year that people are more open to hearing about his story and the truth of what he did, let's celebrate right along with him. Amen? We get to celebrate Jesus every day. Who can say amen?
Amen.
How many like to give gifts? I said that. I know I've asked you this question. How many like to get gifts? How many aren't being honest? Little Johnny went to his mother and he was demanding, very demanding, I've got to have a new bicycle. His mother decided that he should take a careful look at himself and his attitude and the way he acts. She said, well, Johnny, it isn't Christmas, and we don't have the money to just go out and buy you anything you want, so why don't you write a letter to Jesus and pray for one instead? Because she wanted his little temper tantrum to settle down, and she wanted him to have the opportunity to meet with Jesus over his attitude. So he finally sat down to write Jesus this letter. Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year, and I would appreciate a new bicycle. Your friend, Little Johnny. But little Johnny knew that really wasn't true, and that was not the kind of boy he'd been this year. He knew he'd been a brat. So he ripped up that letter and he said, okay, I'll do another one. Here's another try. Dear Jesus, I've been an okay boy this year, and I want a new bicycle. Yours truly, little Johnny. Well, he also knew that wasn't so real, and he tore that one up. He says, I'll try one more time. Dear Jesus, I've thought about being a good boy this year. Can I please have a new bicycle? Signed, Little Johnny. But as he sat there quietly, little Johnny looked down deep into his own heart, and which, by the way, was what his mother was hoping he would do. And he knew he had to crumple up that letter, too, and he threw it in the trash can. And he turned around and ran outside. He aimlessly wandered about, depressed because of the way he treated his parents, and really sincerely considering his actions. Finally, little Johnny found himself in front of a Catholic church. He went inside and knelt down, looked around, not really knowing what he should do. Finally, little Johnny gave up and got up and began to walk out the door. And he was looking around at all the marvelous statues. And all of a sudden, Johnny grabbed a small one, ran out the door, went home, hid it under his bed, and he wrote this letter. Jesus, I've broken most of the Ten Commandments this year. I've shot spitwads in school. I've torn up my sister's Barbie doll and lots more. I'm desperate. I've got your mama. You ever want to see her again? Give me a bite. Signed, you know who. Let's go ahead and put on the overhead bat. Gift giving is God's idea. The Lord is the one who initiated it. When you take a look, in fact, most of you can quote with me John 3, chapter 16, if you, or verse, that's great. I know my Bible. John 3, chapter 16. What chapter are we in? Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Would you say it with me, please? For God so loved the world that He gave. I'm sorry, that He what?
Gave.
That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There's a reason we come into this season. There's a reason there's a joy in giving and in receiving. Jesus begins it all by giving us life, and life eternal that we find in His Son, and in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Gift giving, His idea. But you know, we get caught up in the pressures, the stress of the season. Am I the only one? Look at each other, say, just slack back and listen to Him. Leave the stress at the door. Sometimes we think and we say, God, how come You seem so far away? Is that honest? How come You seem so far away? And if You really cared, You would make things an awful lot different for me. Or You'd make it easier for me. Maybe heal relationships, or You'd give me more provision. That's what I'd like, more provision. Or You'd make my job better. Anybody in this room working for somebody else and you'd like to have your job be better? Pastor Sherry, don't raise your hand. She works for me. But if God really cared, He'd make things so much better. If God were truly loving, He'd make it different for me. But I wonder if we would actually take the time to see things from His perspective. Could it be instead that He gives us in life things that cause our hearts to soften if we'll receive them that way? Cause our hearts to be in touch with the needs of our life so we have to come face to face with a God who answers those needs? Could it be that He really knows how to work something out for our best when He does what He does and when He allows what He allows? Let's look at the Christmas scriptures. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called, what is it? Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Let's say the next verse together. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Let's read it together. "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a pause. A multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, you can just see them out there on the hillside, can't you? The stars are shining bright and the angels come and talk to them and said, "Don't be afraid, man." "Sure, right, I'd be terrified, but don't be afraid. Come on," now they're saying to each other, "did you hear what he said? It's incredible. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste. And that word's all about, it's time to move rapidly. Let's get on with what God's told us to do. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. If you were with us this morning, I'm going to repeat a few points because they bear repeating. Mary was probably only between the ages of 12 to 14 years of age. 12 to 14. The angel had announced to Mary already that she would bear God's child, the Son of the living God. And Mary responded with a beautiful faith, "Lord, be it unto me according to your word." She'd gone to celebrate with her Elizabeth cousin, remember, or her relative Elizabeth, and the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb when Mary approached. And basically, Elizabeth prophesied over Mary that she'd be bearing the Son of God. But after those days of great joy and receptivity comes shame. A 12 to 14 year old girl betrothed to another man to be found pregnant during this time when they weren't to be together was a shameful thing in Israel. And how many know that today's world has the same gifts of prejudgment that they had in those days? Maybe it's not a gift, but it happens, doesn't it? People give you, we talk about the benefit of the doubt. People give you plenty of doubt. Not a whole lot of benefit. Reality set in. The marriage negotiated with the parents, and the girl and the boy were supposed to live apart for a year to see if they'd be clean. Only now Mary's presumed guilty. So the joy of the receptivity to the promise all of a sudden gives way to this terrible, painful hardship. Why, Lord? Anybody in this room ever wonder why? Have you ever wondered why life isn't easier? Even Jesus' family, it wasn't an easygoing thing for them. The very parents that he had. But suffering, if we allow it, will produce sweet fruit in our lives. An ability to care compassionately for other people that hurt. Even God's family had trouble. Now Mary's 9 months pregnant. She's got to travel a bunch of miles on donkey back to go be counted in a census. The leader of the country was a terrible tyrant, and the conditions were awful. It was dusty, and it was dirty, and it was painful. Do you think that God can work something good from your painful journey? God's in control. Say it with me. God is in control. Have you ever been like me? I know some of you are going, I hope not. But when the frustration develops and it builds in life and things happen that you can't change and you find out how little control you really have, doesn't that bug you? Okay, Ken's raising his hand. Yeah, okay. Oh man, that bugs me. I hate being out of control. I said it. There I go. I hate it. And how many ever took PE when you were kids in class? Did you ever have the coach look at you and say, another lap, Hunter? Ever had anybody ever say, you're not doing that right, take some laps? Oh gosh, none of you are admitting it. I had that in my life. Take some more laps. You thought it would have maybe helped me a little more than it did, but take some more laps. And it seems like the continuation of what the Lord teaches me day by day is, Kev, I'm in control. I'm the big God here. You're the little guy. Let me take control. Lord, I thought I learned that lesson a long time ago. You ever been like that? You know what you're really saying? I thought I learned that a long time ago. I thought I learned how to control that thing of control a long time ago. And Jesus just speaks to your spirit and goes, "Yoo-hoo, honey, I love you. You've got a little more to learn." But God does it better than me. What do you think Mary was thinking? God, you got me into this. Look at this painful problem now. What do you think Joseph was thinking? Hey, you told me to do this. Then they get into town, and there are teeming crowds of people everywhere. And even Jesus' family can't find a room for the night. And you imagine the dialogue going like this, "Honey, didn't you make a reservation?" Anybody in this room? "No, we'll find a room when we get there. It'll be all right." Don't sweat it. No vacancies. Full up. And that's how our life is sometimes. No vacancy for you, God. My life's too full, even for you. Too many times in our busy and crowded lives, not even God can get in. But there comes a time when even out in the cave, and it probably was a cave hewn from the rock, out where the animals stayed, the miraculous delivery of all the ages takes place. Mothers, how many of you, how many in this room, you had children? That's what I'm trying to say. Have children. Was it a pain? Did you at least, yeah, Cece's going, "No, it wasn't painful for me." One honest guy. And I just saw Elaine hit him. You know, you're going to do that later. In that moment of the worst pain, did you hate the guy in the room with you there? You got me into this. But as soon as the baby is born, you're counting fingers and toes. It's all right. God knows. They ended up somewhere where they didn't think they'd be, but out in a rock-carved place and in a little manger hewn out of stone, because that's all they have in Israel, they lay a baby down wrapped in swaddling clothes. The Greek word spargano means to strap or wrap with strips. A square of cloth and two or more bandages, and the baby is laying in there, and they wrap around and keep his limbs straight, and those are his clothes for about a year. And a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes is a sign that he's been accepted, or she's been accepted. If the little baby had none, it was a sign of abandonment, but not this baby. No matter how rich or poor, this baby was accepted. But listen, God, I want your deliverance now in my life, Israel's saying. We're ready for a Messiah. The whole countryside's talking about time for the Messiah to come, time for the Messiah to come, time for the Messiah to come. So God says, okay, here he comes, like a baby. Wait a minute. I don't care much for this long haul thing. I want answers now. I want patience, and I want it now. But God's got it all under control. And He knew that by delivering a baby into our world, there would be no greater statement of that baby needing help, growing up, being trained, feeling the feelings we have, facing the temptations we have, no better way for him to look in the face of you and me and say, I understand. I became part of your world. And I invite you now to become part of mine. Three wise men come from afar. Now, we don't necessarily know there are three. The song says three. We know wise men came from afar. We don't really know where they came from, the Magi. We know that they were people of astronomy and great wisdom and leaders of religions from other countries. And there's a whole host of background I could go into. But they find leaders of Israel to tell them where to find this baby, born a king. Wise men came from afar to find him. But even after they met with Israel's leaders who could tell them where to find the baby, Israel's leaders didn't give a whit about finding that baby themselves. You know that? The wise men went to him. Israel's leaders sat back. Do you really want God in your life? We have to go to him sometimes. But God's got it all under control. And he didn't remain as a babe in a manger. He was raised and became the man who bore our sins, our sicknesses, our griefs, our sorrows, who went beaten and impaled upon a cross and spread his arms wide and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Which released forgiveness into your life and into mine. He wasn't even accepted by his own nation. But he did it for you and for me. And his arms are still outstretched to you and me today. He died, was buried, he rose again, and the Bible says he ascended to his Father and ever lives to make intercession or pray for his people. He's got it all under control. The real question is, do you believe that God cares about you? Really? Do you believe he sees you, knows you, loves you, and is interested? That's what he proved when he was born as a baby into our world, when he died on a cross. And when he rose again, he loves you, he knows you, he knows the number of hairs on your head, the Bible says, or the lack thereof. But he cares. I want to close with a little story. True story. A brand new pastor and his wife were newly assigned to their first ministry, and they were excited to reopen an old abandoned church in a suburb of Brooklyn. They arrived in October excited about their new opportunities. But when they got there, they found that this church facility was completely shoddy and run down and needed a whole lot of work. They set a goal. Let's get it all done in time for Christmas Eve and make our first public service Christmas Eve. They worked hard and they repaired the pews and they plastered the walls and they painted. And on December 18th, they were ahead of schedule and just about finished. But on December 19th, there was a terrible storm that came to that town. A driving rainstorm, the kind that you feel can go into your bones. And it lasted for 2 days. On the 21st, the pastor went over to the church. And his heart sunk as he looked around and plaster had fallen off the walls and the roof had leaked and a large area of plaster, about 20 feet by 8 feet, right behind the pulpit area, had collapsed. This will never do. He cleaned up the mess on the floor and, not knowing what else to do but postpone the Christmas Eve service, he headed home. Have you ever wondered, does God care? Why, Lord? On the way home, he noticed that a local business was having a charity auction or a flea market type of sale, and so he stopped in. And over on one of the tables, he happened to find a beautiful, handmade, ivory-colored, crocheted tablecloth that was just exquisitely made. There was a big cross embroidered right in the center of it, and it was just the right size to go on that wall behind the pulpit that would hide the scar that had just recently developed. By this time, it had started to snow. The pastor purchased the tablecloth, and he made his way back to the church. In the snow, because it was so difficult, an elderly woman running from the opposite direction was trying to catch the bus, and she missed it. God, do you really care? I had to get home. I got a long way to go. The pastor saw it and invited her to at least sit inside the warm church for 45 minutes until the next bus would come by. She sat in a pew and didn't pay any attention to what he was doing. He was getting out the ladder and hangers, and he was hanging the tablecloth, and he put it up on the wall just like a walled tapestry. And the pastor stood back and he looked at it and he went, "Man, this is just perfect, Lord. Thank you." Next thing he noticed was this woman was walking down the center aisle, and her face was white as a sheet. "Pastor, where did you get that tablecloth?" She heard his explanation, and then she said, "Well, I want you to check the lower right-hand corner of that tablecloth, and would you please see if the initials EBG are crocheted into it there?" They were. These were the initials of that very woman who had made that tablecloth 35 years before in Austria. The woman could hardly believe it as she listened to the pastor tell her about how he'd just gotten the tablecloth, and then she began her story. She and her husband were well-to-do, lots of provision, and they were in Austria when the Nazis came in. And they forced her to leave. And her husband was going to follow her out the next week. But she was captured, sent to prison, and never saw her husband or her home again. The pastor, overcome by just the sheer reality of what had happened, tried to give her the tablecloth. And she said, "No, I want you to keep it for the church." The least he could do then was to drive her home. The amazing acts of God that prove that He cares. And she lived way over in Staten Island, and she was only in Brooklyn for that single day to clean a house. They had a wonderful service, as you can imagine, on Christmas Eve, and the church was almost full. The music was great. The spirit was great. And at the end of the service, the pastor and his wife greeted everybody at the door, and many said they would return. But over sitting at the pew was this older gentleman. The pastor recognized him from the neighborhood. But he just sat there. And he continued to stare. And the pastor wondered, why isn't this man leaving? And the man looked at the pastor and he said, "Pastor, where did you get that tablecloth on the front wall? That's identical to one my wife made years and years ago when we lived in Austria before the war. And how could two tablecloths be exactly alike? But when the Nazis moved in, we had to flee and I sent my wife away. And I have never seen my wife or my home again in 35 years. And the pastor asked him, "Would you please allow me to just take you on a little ride?" They drove to Staten Island, to the same house where the pastor had taken the woman just 3 days earlier. And he helped this elderly gentleman climb 3 flights of stairs to the woman's apartment, where he knocked on the door and saw the greatest Christmas reunion he could ever imagine. Does God care? 35 years. Don't you see, Lord, the suffering, the difficulties? Don't you feel and understand what I'm going through? And he says, yes. Son and daughter, I do. And if you'll trust me, I'll prove to you that I care. And as a babe in a manger, to a man impaled on a cross, to a resurrected Christ, this Jesus loves you. Merry Christmas, church. Pastor Sherry. I apologize to you.
Around 2,000 years ago, God set a light in the sky. And he did it to announce the coming of his son, Jesus, to the earth. People from all around were drawn by the light, and many discovered the news of the birth of God's son, as we've just heard about in the message. Today, even in the midst of a politically correct world, people still are drawn to the light, and many still discover the news of the reality of Jesus Christ and the love he has to share. Does he love us?
Yes, yes. He does.
Amen. He cares. He knows. While there's no longer a light in the sky to show the way to Christ, the light still exists in the world today. This light is in the people of God, the Christians who are on the earth. Jesus said that if he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto himself.
You bet.
If we're going to be effective lives, lights, we need to let God arise in our lives. We need to cooperate with him and let him have his way in us. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody agree?
Yes. Yes.
Let this candle lighting tonight be a reminder of the rededication of your own life to him.
Here we go. It went off. Here we go.
As we rededicate our lives to him tonight, we are reminded that he is the light. And as we come tonight, we come and light our candles with gratitude in our hearts for our Heavenly Father sending Jesus, the light of the world, to lighten up your own life, to enable you to shine that light so that others will no longer be in darkness. How many would like to do that this evening? Let's stand and let's come forth. And if you'll get the lights, we'll each take a candle and then just keep them, just come up and then rotate back to your places. We do have the tremendous opportunity and privilege to be those who carry the message of life and salvation. Let us continue to pray for one another and to encourage one another so that we see the light of Christ arise brightly in the people of God. Let God arise in his people so that the world might know Jesus is. Amen. Look how wonderful it started. It was dark in here. And this is just typical. As each of us lets the light of Christ shine, the room gets brighter and brighter. And oh, do we need that in the United States of America today, huh? Amen. Let's shine his light. Amen, Pastor Kevin.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful night together. Thank you that we get to be family and friends who come here in this place to celebrate you. Thank you that ye are the light of the world, and that includes us as we go forth and beam brightly with the presence and countenance of Jesus in our lives. Jesus, tonight we yield our lives to you. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you now. I surrender fully to you. One more time, be my Lord and Savior. Completely take my life. You are in control. Not me. Show me the way to go. And by faith, I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, thank you.
For being born in a manger.
For being born in a manger.
For me.
For me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, Merry Christmas to you all. Have a fantastic time with friends and family. Thank you for your loving gifts to us. It is a privilege to be your pastor. And thank